Well, please take up your Bibles again and turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 13. And as you turn to this passage of Scripture, let me just say what a blessing it's been for us to be with you this Lord's Day and to be able to worship God with you. And we certainly appreciate your prayers in the work of the Gospel. Now, I want us to begin reading again at verse 1, but this time we'll read down to verse 17. John 13 and verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Let's again pray together and ask for God's blessing. Our Father, we acknowledge before you the tremendous privilege just to gaze at the Lord Jesus through this text of Scripture. And we do ask that you would open our eyes to see all that the Lord Jesus was teaching and exhorting. We know, Lord, that there are lessons for us to carry with us from this passage for the rest of our lives. And we pray even this afternoon that the example of the Lord Jesus might be impressed upon our hearts and we might follow in his footsteps. We acknowledge the need of the Holy Spirit and pray that he would be our teacher, that he would impress these things on our souls. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Our study of Jesus' foot washing of the disciples is clearly intended to be a humbling experience. You think of the first lesson we considered, the illustration of Jesus' voluntary humiliation in order to save us. Who can view the Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the Lord of glory, as he stepped down from the splendor and majesty of heaven to become a creature, to become a servant, to wash dirty feet, to die on the cross, and not be deeply humbled to think, "Jesus did that to save me." And then that second lesson, as we were reminded that we need the cleansing work of the Lord Jesus, it forces us to acknowledge how dirty we are, how sinful we are, how we are people who deserve hell. And the only way to be cleansed is to come to Jesus and ask Him to wash us with His precious blood. You can't learn that lesson without being deeply humbled by it. Now this afternoon, we come to the third lesson. And Jesus challenged those disciples, and He challenges us to put this humility into practice. If we've really been taught the gospel by these texts of Scripture, and we've been humbled by looking at Jesus and what He did for us, then we ought to be ready to put that humility into practice before one another. We ought to be ready to copy the Lord Jesus and have a heart that is willing to humble ourselves before each other and serve. And so in a sense, as we go on to this third lesson this afternoon, Christ is taking us lower. He's taking us lower, and He's asking us, in essence, how low are you willing to go before your brethren in the church? It underscores the need for grace. We will never do this on our own. You could study a passage like this and see the Lord Jesus and what He did to His disciples and go home and say, that's what I'm going to do towards my brethren. And you'll never do it on your own apart from the grace of God in your heart. We need the help of Jesus. Not only His example, but His grace flowing through us if we are going to be a group of foot washers. First of all, this afternoon, let's look at the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior's example. Now, in this third lesson that we're drawing from the foot washing, we have a clear example set before us by the Lord Jesus. Look again at the words of verse 15. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. So Jesus makes it plain that along with the other lessons from the foot washing, we should draw from this action an example, a pattern, something for us to copy. Jesus is saying to His disciples, He's saying to us, look at Me and do what I do. This is what He's impressing upon them in verses 12 to 17. Now I want you to notice that as the Lord Jesus sets this example before the disciples, He reminds them of His exalted position. He says to them, you call Me teacher and Lord. And it's right for you to do that because that's what I am. I'm your teacher and Lord. These were titles obviously used by the disciples as they addressed the Lord Jesus. And it was a constant reminder of His exalted position among them. He was their teacher. He was the one who possessed all the truth about life. All they needed to know in order to live before God, Jesus could teach them. They'd come to Him to learn from Him. They'd committed themselves to follow His teaching. Now remember, these men had grown up in Israel, and they were committed to the truth of God as found in the Old Testament. So it's not like they were coming to Jesus as blank slates to be written on. They were not ignorant of truth. But building on that truth, they looked upon the Lord Jesus as the great prophet that God had promised to send. He was the one who, like Moses, would speak the very words of God to them. He was the one who could take the Old Testament scriptures and help them understand.